You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
So you want to end all government healthcare? I think Donald should take a stay away from anything have to do with healthcare. We don't believe in socialized medicine. But I myself, a veteran that realized American dream because my hard work and three jobs, I like to take care of my own doctor and get the best doctor money can buy to take care of my wounds. It's called capitalism, sir. Socialized medicine does not work. I am originally from Nicaragua. I run away from communism. I realized that communism does not work. Socialism does not work. And the debt of America will be socialized medicine. That is so clear because I came to this country looking for the freedom to choose my own doctor, not for the government to tell me when to live and when to die. I live for America, I work for America, and I love this country, and I can't stand socialism, I can't stand communism. The only good communist is a dead communist. You want to say anything more? Thank you, sir. The only good communist is a dead communist. Yeah! The only good communist is a dead communist. You got it?
So I take it you do want to close the VA then.
Sir, if a veteran cannot work, if a veteran's unable to function because of the inability of a war wound, let's go to charity hospital. We welcome them in New Orleans. We have charity hospital for those that can't work. But I myself, a veteran, a United States Marine Corps veteran that fought for this country, believe in freedom, freedom, and death to the damn commies. You got it? I say death to the commies. You get it? Death to the commies. Are you a commie? Are you a commie?
No, no.
Then stay alive, else you'll be dead. Now get out of here, commie. Get out of here before I drop you up with this flag and throw you into the river.
What's wrong?
It's a damn communist.
It's a damn communist. He wants to close the VA.
Not never. I'm a veteran. United States Marine Corps.
You want to close the
veteran? United States Marine Corps. I fought for this country, you son of a bitch. What did you do? What did you do? You parasite socialist. That's what you are, a parasite socialist. A lousy cockroach. A communist cockroach.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian Unintelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land! Indian land! Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian Unintelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart of the region.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Grande gave sermons that went something like this. You know, if Jesus ever tried to come to El Salvador, he'd have a tough time. I don't think he'd make it very far across the border. They'd lock him up. And as for the Bible, the only thing they'd let in are the two covers, because everything in between would be viewed as subversive, etc., etc.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio,
Internet Radio for Smarter Original.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the fourth world from within occupied North America. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutation and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, the Angry Indian, Editor-in-Chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service. Logging to the fourth world from aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thanks for tuning in to Indigenous News, thought and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, welcome along. I wish peace to the gods and earths and love and solidarity to the entire original family at this time of strife and struggle. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. This is just a show that is part of Aboriginal Press News Public Radio. Contact us if you'd actually be interested in, you know, doing news reports for this podcast. Darcy Della Prosa from Ireland, one of our editors, recently did a show on a case of racism, a case of police brutality, a case of the violation of a black man's human rights in the United States. And, you know, that really should say something to the, you know, black folks, my brothers and sisters who are listening to this. Well, to everybody. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, people who live in the United States who like to talk about freedom, democracy, all of that bourgeois nonsense. You know, because there's a lot of pretty talk, you know, but we don't really see anything. See, I'm like Phil Oakes. You know, liberals are really cool, you know, in good times. At that point, they're left of center. But they're right of center when things affect them personally. So, you know, when it comes to left, right, you know, when you're dealing with a system of class division that denies its own racism, that still, you know, muddies the discourse by confusing racism. You know, racism as an ism seems to be the only word in the English language that denotes an attitude, while ageism denotes systemic, you know, bias and discrimination against people because of their age, usually in terms of hiring, housing, what have you. Right? You know, communism. Well, actually, let me correct myself. Racism and communism are probably the only two things with the ism, right? Hyphen ism. They're probably the only two concepts that are always argued as attitudes and never systems. When was the last time you heard a debate where capitalism was defined as an attitude? They talk about it as a system. You know, I mean, I've never heard Malcolm Forbes describe capitalism as an attitude. And he's come the closest, if there's anyone. You know, Donald Trump will tell you is business. You know, this is the cat that wants to just take oil, you know, the spoils of war. He wants to just take things from other countries. And he wants to know if the president was actually born in the United States. You know, I mean, John McCain wasn't born in the United States. He was born in Panama. But so what? He's a Republican. He's white. He comes from a slave-owning family. You know, he probably has African blood in him. You know, I mean, supposedly he's the only one of the McCain clan that does not admit to the black members of their family. So, you know, hey, which is something else. You know, Essie Mae Washington passed away not too long ago. You know, my Gullah people will remember her since she was one of us. Her daddy was Strom Thurmond. You know, Strom Thurmond. You know, this is the white cat who got into the lift with, I can't remember her name now, but she was from the state of Illinois. A sister. And he gets into the, they're all going up to the congressional floor now. It was just her, Thurmond, and some other individual. Another member. And start singing, I wish I were back in the land of cotton. Now, this was the same day that they were supposed to vote on whether or not they were to renew the patent for the Confederate flag as is used by the Daughters of the Confederate Revolution. So, you know, I mean, they still fly Confederate flags in the South. Matter of fact, they fly Confederate flags all over the goddamn place. You can fly Confederate flags in every state of the Union. We're talking about the flag of the rebels, right? The flag of treason. Why is it not treason to fly the Confederate flag? Why is it not treason to belong to the Ku Klux Klan? Why is it not treason to belong to the American Nazi Party? Oh, bye, that's right. The American Nazi Party has a lobbying office in D.C. now. That's right. That's right. You know, black president says nothing. You got a black cat running the Justice Department. He doesn't say anything. Oh, well, that's right. He used to work for United Fruit when they were hiring, what do you want to call them? Security teams, irregulars. What do you want to call them? Executive action type of stuff. Was executive action in business? Lupe? Guadalupe, you know, is your engineer this evening, Morales, as always. Was executive action out of South Africa in business when... No, they had already folded by that time. Oh, okay, so... But you get my point. Any of you who understand what the term mercenary means, they try to pretty it up by talking about professional, independent military contractor. But it's as they say in the States, a crock. Right? It's a crock. Because it's complete nonsense. A mercenary is a mercenary. If you're fighting in another country, let me put it this way. If you're fighting in a country that is not your own, as far as I understand from international law, because I read this, if you're fighting in a country that is not your own, and you're fighting for profit, if you're taking up arms, once you pick up a weapon and you get into, as Bush liked to put, you know, Bush II liked to put, the battlefield, you know, when he was justifying, you know, just picking up, you know, some taxi driver and throwing him in Guantanamo and what have you. You know, on the battlefield. Anyway, like, he knows what the hell a battlefield was. He couldn't even show up to fly his goddamn plane. What was it, Virginia, Alabama? People who served in the same unit said they never saw him. And we know why, because he had to take a piss test. So, you know, he decided not to show. Ever. No, because rich boys didn't go to Vietnam. So let's get real about a whole lot of things. You know, Bush II, his daddy is a different thing. You know, Pappy, you know, he served. He served. You know, and like I said, it's not like I have any real, you know, like for the man, but it's like, I he served. His son didn't. He sends other people to go. Well, signs off on it anyway, since we realized that, you know, Uncle Cheney was in charge of the entire goddamn operation. You know, because we all know that Dim's son is really Dim, and he wasn't really, you know, psychologically there. You know, he Laura and Bonnie, you know, dry drunks all, they were doing their thing. And, you know, they really weren't paying attention. You know, we know this. He was not in the office that goddamn much. He's on the golf field. You know, talking about how, you know, his critics don't understand the meaning of work. What the hell did he know about the meaning of work? Look, you know, I don't even know where I'm going on this tack, but, you know, we'll end it right here with this. You know, the sainted Ronald Reagan. You know, not my description. The sainted Ronald Reagan, who used astrology and numerology at the behest of his better half to run government policy. You know, tell your Republican buddies that, because I know they don't want to hear that. But it's the truth. Well, it turns out, if you're not aware of this, that sometime after Ronald Reagan passed, his personal diary became public. It was published. I really don't know why people do that. I mean, personal diaries are just that, personal diaries. And I know from a historical sense, yes, it gives you more insight into the individual. It does good. But anyway, back to Ronald Reagan. It turns out that when Ronald Reagan's diaries were published, he wrote some really uncharitable things about Bush II. I mean, he, out of all of the Bush boys, he didn't seem to have any respect for him at all. He talked about him being, you know, this walking around shiftless when he visited the White House, and that he was probably, that the father, Pappy, was probably going to come and ask him if he could find a job for Junior again, because he's like, I think he's 30 some odd years old and he hasn't had a job yet. I mean, this is Ronald Reagan talking about W. So, hey, don't believe me. It's out there. Reagan Diaries. You know, don't believe me. Don't believe me. Don't believe me. And yeah, and back to the astrology thing. Yeah, it's true. Look it up. You know, tell the evangelical Christians who were running around behind Jerry Falwell from Lynchburg, Virginia. Think about how the hell they got that name, man. Right? You know, when they were running behind the moral majority. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's another one. You know, you think about Jerry Falwell and everything that he said and did. And, the late Christopher Hitchens. I mean, there's a hell of a lot we could say about Hitch. But, you know, when it really came to talking about religion in the West, he was on. And he called Falwell what he was. You know, somebody who caused a lot of pain for a lot of people. But I don't know why I'm just flashing on a Tammy Faye Baker, Jim Baker scandal, and how Falwell just came in and took his entire goddamn church. Right? Took his entire television industry. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but, you know, for all the people who are used to watching church on television all day long here in the United States, you know, that started with Jim Baker and Tammy Faye. They did that. They did that. And I have to say this, because I actually watched that crap hole for a little while. You know, I mean, I just watched the 700 Club just to see what they had to say. You know, I had it with my morning tea. And, you know, the 700 Club was never made any sense. But, you know, the Bakers, despite everything, I mean, you know, they had people of color up there. And they talked about AIDS when not one motherfucking preacher, not one goddamn mayor, not in San Francisco, especially not in New York. I mean, if you've been reading anything about the late Koch, whatever the hell you pronounce his name, the only reason I know anything about him is because of the Central Park rape case, where he demanded that every black leader in the country pretty much apologize for what happened. And now we know that those young men were framed. Those young men were framed. They knew that they didn't do this, and they bullied them and tortured them and coerced them into admitting something that they did not do, because, you know, that's just what they do to niggas and spicks, right? I mean, that's just what they do, right? Remember John Berg in Chicago? Yeah, I know I'm going on a tangent, but roll with me, because this is all going to end up someplace. You know, this is kind of like listening to Cream. I don't know how many of you don't know who Cream was. You know, Jack Baker, you know. Come on. Anyway, they're the only musical group I can think of that, you know, it always seemed like they were stumbling, but they always landed on their feet. You know, Ginger would be there, Jack would hit that bottom, and Slowhand would just, you know, weave magic. Cream, come on, White Room, Tales of Ulysses, oh, come on, God. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, there's a point to all of this. Now, we have a black man. It seems from what they're saying about him, it's like they want to say that he was a SEAL, but then they don't want to say it because it seems like this, you know, from what they're saying about him in the mainstream press, in terms of his naval career, and the idea that he may have actually visited one of these installations in San Diego while all of this was going on. I mean, this has really turned out to be the black version of 24. I mean, the scandal involved, because nobody really knows what the hell went down in that first incident that led to all of this. Nobody really knows what the hell is going on. And that is a second manifesto out here from another, manifesto. That seems to be the new cold term, like Main Street. Remember that? Remember that, my stateside listeners? Remember Main Street? You heard it from Pelosi. You heard it from Boehner, however you want to pronounce his name. Because he has no respect for anybody. So I say pronounce it however the hell you want to, you know. And drink a glass of Merlot while you're doing it. Out of respect for him. You know, that's for the hell of it. Remember, you know, he said, I've never had a job. You know, he said, I swept the floor in my father's pub. So, you know, he doesn't know anything about what the hell's going on. I mean, both his brothers are unemployed, or at least the last I heard, they were unemployed. And one of them, just to show you the type of first-rate minds that there are in this country, he says that he doesn't want any unfunded government money. that he didn't want his brother voting in terms of the working class in the United States, since we have to have classes here, right? You know. All of you people who are bemoaning the failure, and it is a failure of the middle class, and I do blame the middle class, because the middle class was so busy trying to say middle. You know, here they are worshiping the upper class, demonizing the lower classes, trying to pretend that there's no elite here, that there's no, you know, elitism here when there is. This is an oligarchy here. I mean, if you want to, you know, like really push language and use a lot of big words. But it's definitely a plutocracy. If you don't have any money in the United States, if you don't have any money in the Western world, under Western thinking, you're done. And while I'm on it, since we're just talking about any goddamn thing, you know, let me just, I have to say something about the Kenyan presidential debate. They were copying everything they think is going on in the United States. Have you noticed that? This is what Obama and Oprah Winfrey have done. Did you notice that the questioner did not have her hair natural? Did you notice that the one woman that was on stage did not have her hair natural? Do you notice I did not see one stitch of African clothing, of traditional African clothing to the region of Kenya on one of these candidates? Their mannerisms, everything that they said, the talk about tribalism. Did you hear that, my indigenous brothers and sisters? On how tribalism is destroying Africa. Well, this is the same thing the socialists said in Africa too. Sekou Toure, right? Kenyatta. You know, they all said the same thing. You know, I don't remember Lumumba, Patrice Lumumba saying this, but then we don't really know what he would have said because he didn't get a chance to say any goddamn thing, did he? Now, you can read John Stockwell on this, or you can read the Belgians on this, or you can, you know, be smart and really look at William Bloom's work and see what he has to say on this. You know, on William Bloom, like I said, I don't believe in Google. You know, pick another search engine. You got Duck and Go right now, because Scroogle, they've been cashiered, haven't they? So, you know, Duck and Go, Star Page, Ixquick, whatever the hell you choose. But look up the author William Bloom, and B-L-U-M, and see what he has to say about all of this. you know, it's not a matter of whether you agree or disagree or you know, follow the information. Look at it and see what the hell happened to Patrice Lumumba and see what the hell happened to Africa after that. And you know, and just look at, you know, all of it. All of it. All of it. That's why Mugabe was respected by so many people for so long until we just had to say, we can't do this anymore. And this is my point with this Darden, whatever his name is. I'm still not exactly sure because I've heard his name pronounced two different ways. You know, one in the hood and one when I'm talking to my wife house. So, you know, I'm not really sure. Darden. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. But, you know, he's going berserk. And, you know, he already knew. Evidently, he considered himself to be whatever his naval training, what have you. It's just like this Chris Kyle. You know, I told folks, I said, you know, it's pretty sad when we really look at what the hell happened to this guy. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is the, I don't remember what branch of the service he was in. This is the sniper who registered, was it 150, 160 kills? I mean, registered, you know, people to that he has down. And, you know, they've made a hero out of him. And he wrote a book and, you know, that's this whole war porn that's going on in the U.S. and in Canada right now. You know, I mean, Mexico, they got other problems. You know, they're having a war amongst themselves, right? But, you know, in the rest of North America, you know, everybody right now is into this whole, you know, everything we're seeing in the movies. And now that, you know, I don't want to be redundant, but this is exactly what I said in the last dispatch. Everything that's going on in these films, in these video games, all of these adventure stories, you know, all of this, you know, reflections of empire. Well, now that is really happening, nobody really knows what to do. Nobody knows how to think about it. The black community is, you know, it's really, nobody really knows how to look at it. A lot of people are glad that now they're looking at it, you know, his charges about how racist the LAPD is. But everybody already knows how racist the LAPD is. I mean, this is a matter of international knowledge. It's common knowledge. I mean, the police departments in, the police departments in Los Angeles in California have had a bad reputation since the 1940s in terms of racism, in terms of abuse, in terms of framing people and what have you. This is not new news. And, you know, and like I said, here it is. You got the State of the Union address. And I'm just going to throw this out here for the hell of it. Because it doesn't seem to me that a lot of people, you know, are really considering this, at least in the press. You know, in the mainstream press. I haven't seen anything anywhere else either. You know, if we're going to assume that this was some kind of, you know, if you're going to look at this quote-unquote manifesto, you know, we're talking about this one, but not the Breivik manifesto too much, right? We're going to talk about this manifesto. So, you know, so now we got this new cold term, like Main Street, you know, like whatever the hell. That was the last one I remember. Or the fiscal cliff. No, what am I talking about? The fiscal cliff. Okay, so now it's manifesto. And, you know, if we look at all of these elements, from what we're gathering so far, and that he's, you know, this cop that's gone rogue to fight corruption within the department, a department that we know has been corrupt for decades, in a country that is getting more and more corrupt as I take each breath as I'm doing this show. I mean, how many different international, you know, be they UN, be they some other NGO, how many other, you know, international studies do we have to see to notice that what we understand in the United States as freedom does not exist any longer? And if you're of color, it never existed for you anyway. And if you're a poor white man, you never had it. You had a little bit more than me when it comes to walking down the street, but in brass tacks, you didn't have it. You didn't have it. You know, nobody paid any attention to you. Nobody gives a damn about you. Listen to Bob Kincaid of Head on Radio if you think anybody gives a damn about the poor white man in the United States. Look up the Kingfish and see if it, you know, and how far this goes back. Look at Gangs of New York and realize why the Irish, when they started hanging Negroes, all of a sudden they became American. No, nobody wants to talk about this. Nobody wants to talk about Jews who were just had their land taken from them in the South after the war. You know, they were suffering just as much as anybody else down there was suffering. And the majority, and I mean, some of them owned slaves, of course. But a lot of them were poor, you know, farmers, just like everybody else. You know, but you know, instead of penalizing they did penalize the South. But I'm saying, you know, they just decided, General Grant, before he became president, Grant decided, well, we're going to take the land to the Jews, too, because they were the ones that were really choking the economy. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's American history, isn't it? You know, how often do you hear about the Trail of Tears? You don't hear about the Trail of Tears. And it goes both ways, because you don't hear the Cherokee talk about the Africans that they took along with them as property on the Trail of Tears. You know, they voted Africans out of the nation twice in Oklahoma. And then they fought to go back. I understand the Fan family. I understand what they were fighting for. I respect your argument, but I also respectfully disagree. Why the hell would you want to be a part of a group that doesn't give a fuck about you? To the point where they vote you out twice. They don't even want to talk about the racism of the African within that nation. Why would you struggle to be part of a nation that split? Because many of them, you know, I'm tempted to say the majority, but let's just say a sizable amount sided with the Confederacy. And they were the last one. Stan Watty, General Stan Watty, the Confederate general, was the last to stand down. The war had already ended. He wanted to continue because he was fighting to keep, right, that tradition. Because he felt that he had a right to own niggers. You know, and then when they want to tell black folks who the majority of us have native blood, you know, it's like, well, you're not really whatever the hell, you know, you didn't grow up in the community, you didn't grow up in the reservation, and, you know, look at them, you know, they're wearing a Plains war bonnet and they claim to be Cherokee. Hey, you're right. You know, I get on them about that goddamn too. But you know what it is? There's no knowledge. You know, they grew up in this system looking at Redskins, and just like your nephew is wearing a goddamn Redskin baseball cap. Or a Washington Redskin jacket, because I argue with these young people about this all the goddamn time. So, you know, let's cut the nonsense. Let's cut the nonsense. We are all caught up in what white folks like to call the Matrix. Right? It took a movie for them to understand or start to get the metaphor that, you know, we're caught up in a mass of propaganda and commercialism and falseness. We can talk about spiritual shit too, but you know, I mean, the whole thing is that we're caught up in what we think. We're all caught up in illusion. We're caught up, as Gore Vidal used to say, we're all prisoners of our time and space. And what's bad about that is, as William Burroughs used to say, we don't want to admit it. You know, we don't want to say to ourselves, you know, those on the left, that Jack Kerouac was a conservative. Who, you know, when he was drunk that time on William Buckley's show, on Bill Buckley's show, he would have gone down on him if he thought that it would have appeased him. You know, so we have to understand what the hell, you know, nobody's perfect. And situations are not perfect. But I'm just saying, you know, it's pretty ridiculous that we have to use cinema in order to come to some sort of realization. And then what happened? You had Matrix, the one, and they should have left it at that if they were trying to make a point, right? No. So they go the capitalist route, and here goes, you know, 2 and 3. Which just came out with more violence, more gore, more nonsense, to the point where, you know, suspension of belief is not just necessary, it's mandatory in order to understand these films. And then whatever value it had, it's gone. As art, as a metaphor. It's gone. It's gone. You know, it's the same thing with looking at Tupac Shakur. Yeah, he was brilliant, and it's a goddamn shame that his stepfather is still sitting in the joint. You know? is a goddamn shame that he turned around and went to the thug end and ended up losing his life the way he did. Yeah, it's a goddamn shame. But to only talk about, well, he was great and he was a prophet. Okay, yeah, fine. Okay, you're caught up in that whole image of it. What did Tupac actually goddamn say? And then balance that against how he lived his fucking life. And then look at Malcolm X and tell me there's a fucking comparison. Because I really get tired of you young people who just throw these things around. And white people stand around and laugh because they're just watching you confuse yourselves and each other. And what does this have to do with this cat running around right now in the state of California? Who's got a beef with the LAPD that he's just gone completely berserk? Because just like the movies, how do we know it didn't, you know, I mean, this is the culture here. That he's doing it this way. This second officer who wrote his manifesto says, I don't see the world the way he does. I appreciate life. But then we have to look at how this cat was trained. Forget about the LAPD. Think of what he was doing in the Navy. What was he trained to do? He wasn't trained to grow daffodils over there. What was he trained to do? This is Frankenstein unbound, and nobody knows what to do because nobody wants to admit to themselves that we all in this supposed democracy let it happen. That's why I don't want to hear anything from the so-called goddamn middle class. By preserving the idea of classes in the first goddamn place, you created your own goddamn problem because you will do everything to maintain that status. And in maintaining that status, you do what? You maintain the oligarchs that are on top that are oppressing every goddamn buddy, using you as a buffer class and oppressing the people on the goddamn bottom, because the way the system is set up, it can't function otherwise. It can't function otherwise. In order for this system to function, somebody has to be goddamn bled dry. And it's a goddamn shame. It's a shame. Talk about Jesus and Martin Luther King Jr. all the hell you want. It's a shame. And for all you suckers looking at Obama as the second coming, wake up, fools. If he had done his goddamn job, this man in California wouldn't felt so fucking cornered as a black man caught up in the system. Remember what I said the last time. He believed in America. He still believes in America. Read what the hell he said. Yeah, I know we all want to clown because Charlie Sheen has said, yeah, give me a call. But look at who he mentioned on that list. Bill Cosby, I mean, Bill Cosby's a conservative. It is on film. Bill Cosby has said, I don't want another country to come in here and tell us about our racial problems. I know we got racial problems, but we'll handle them here ourselves. The same thing that I got on Mike Malloy, the independent talk show host, about. Now, you know, like I said, I still listen to him. You know, we've gone on email a couple of times back and forth, and I've sent him information. But, you know, the bottom line is where I draw the line. I mean, look, I support him because just like Bob Kincaid, he's one of the few white men that will talk about racism. That will talk about conservatism. I mean, yes, he mocks them, but he points out their hypocrisy. And like I said, I appreciate the fact that as a white man, he talks about racism honestly in this country. I still, you know, he still looks at it in many ways, or at least what I get from it, that he still views it as an attitude, you know, but he does understand that it's a system. But where I disagree with him is the idea, and many of his listeners who support this notion, that, you know, people outside of the United States, namely an Australian named Blue, people outside the United States do not have the right to criticize the United States. See, that's a goddamn cop-out. And that's what led to what the hell Donna, whatever the hell his name is going through, right? When we can have every 36 hours a black man is killed by law enforcement or security or vigilante like George Zimmerman in this country. You know, people are being killed all the goddamn time. in police custody. Nobody seems to give a damn. We got people like Troy Davis who are going to the chair when there's no evidence tying them to the goddamn crime. What the hell is this? Mumia Abu-Jamal still sits in the joint. For what? For what? If you really know anything about the case, you have to look at a retrial. Leonard Peltier is still sitting in the court. For what? The prosecutor said that we don't even know what the hell really happened there. But somebody had to pay. Bob Robidoux and Dino Butler, it's not like they got off or they walked. They presented their case and the jury said, yeah, what the hell? Looking at the history of all of this and seeing what the hell is going on in this courtroom, we had to decide like that because we saw the facts. In the case of Leonard Peltier, what? The government of Canada has demanded that he be returned. Well, not under Harper. That's for goddamn sure. Right? Because he's Bush Light. So, you know, don't expect that. Don't expect that. You know, Occupy Canada, we're talking about a country that has listed all of their First Nations people as potential terrorists. And folks on Twitter want to ask me ridiculous, you know, they got to be white folks, but not always. Going to ask me ridiculous questions on Twitter about why Indians angry? It's like, are you serious? Why people of color upset? Are you for real? I just said that to somebody the other night. I mean, you know, you're in Canada, I believe. And, you know, I Don't Know More doesn't mean anything to you. Operation Thunderbird doesn't mean anything to you. Missing Indigenous women doesn't mean anything to you. The fact that Indigenous people are padding your goddamn prison system doesn't mean anything to you. Oh no, it's always the fault of their. It's always their fault, isn't it? It's always the fault of the victim, isn't it? It's always the victim's fault, right? I mean, that's why we have all of this, you know, I'm not going to call it noise, but these raised voices about rape. But where there is noise, though, is not talking about men who are falsely accused of rape. There's another paradigm that's coming around that's racist as hell, and nobody's discussing that. How many black men are accused of rape? How many men are falsely accused of rape? Even the American Federal Bureau of Investigation at one point said that, well, not they maybe, but a representative, you know, probably off the record, I read this some years back, made a statement. Well, I read a statement. That if DNA was used in every rape case without exception, one-third of them probably would not stick. And how many men, most of them black, have been released from prison once DNA was brought into a case, a rape case? And the other reason I want to bring this up is because I caught heat for this. What is her name? I can't even remember her name right now. Obani, I can't remember her name. The woman who ran into the hotel in Libya and said that she was systematically raped by, and they put it this way, not the Libyan army, right? It was Gaddafi's army. You know, because they never say Obama's army. They say the United States army, right? Or never Cameron's army or Harper's army. They always mention the country that they represent. But in this case, of course, when you start doing propaganda, the military, the police, they're all personal friends of the leader. And, you know, she said this, and, you know, you got to remember, there were British reporters who were there who said, well, she came in and she started speaking in Arabic, and then when people started to pick up the cameras and their mics and what have you and their other devices, then it turned into English. And she knew exactly where they were. And she also knew that the security would be there, because you have to be an idiot to not think that the Secret Service or whatever the hell they have over there, their intelligence people are going to be there. The security people are going to be there. Of course they were. And of course they dragged her out. And of course it was a big media thing. And of course it was a big brouhaha. And you know what? Where is she? Now, I can understand a woman who's been attacked who, you know, she, you know, okay, she does this to raise the alarm about this. Okay, that's fine. But they were charging the Libyans with systematic rape. And what happened? The UN and every other goddamn NGO came around and said that it was a goddamn lie. It was propaganda. It wasn't true. Where is she now? Because she did pop up later on, because I saw her. She was interviewed when she was supposed to be missing. She was interviewed by some British agency. It was definitely a British reporter. And then what? Now, I wrote something about this, not that rape matters in Africa, you know, because, you see, rape's been going on, systematic gang rapes have been going on up and down here, For how long? And then all of a sudden, now they give a damn. All of the white liberal feminists jumped up, and all of a sudden they gave a damn about rape in Africa. Well, where are you now? There's still rape going on over there. Where are you now? Women are really being attacked in Libya now. Where are you now? Where is the National Organization for Women now? Where are you now? I'll tell you where you are. You're goddamn nowhere. See, when we really need you, you're nowhere. The same thing happened with Afghanistan. The white feminist lobby in the West pushed the argument that the West has to invade Afghanistan to better the conditions of the women there. And the same thing popped up with Iraq. What is the life like for women in these countries now? What is the life like for a woman in the American military now when it comes to sexual assault? How did they answer that? Well, we'll put them in combat. That'll even things out. We're not going to address the problem. We're just going to continue the problem. See, when you do empire, you do war. When you have this whole thug life thing, which is why I try to tell my brothers, look at how the women are treated in that ism. Look at how women are treated in rap / hip hop / commercialized black music, because that's really what it is. So, yeah. This is the Angry Indian. You've been listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Dwayne Claridge was head of the CIA's Latin American division in the early 1980s.
Chile, the only reason it exists is because of Pinochet.
At a huge human price.
What human price? Give me a break.
The thousands who were disappeared and murdered.
Thousands? You count them. What thousands?
Well,
and
I've
don't
seen...
Talk to me about truth commissions.
I've seen their names in the cemetery in Santiago.
Yeah,
you're saying they're fakes.
There aren't thousands.
Well...
There aren't thousands,
it was a period in which almost everybody in the present situation regards as a dark time in which the CIA played a major role.
That's right. They played a major role in overthrowing... what's his name?
What's his name was Salvador Allende.
Yeah, fine. Okay.
He was democratically elected.
Right. Okay.
Is that okay to overthrow a democratically elected government? Is it okay?
It depends on what your national security interests are.
Are you denying that Pinochet caused huge suffering
in
that
country? I don't buy. That he committed crimes, I agree.
But it's worth it.
Huh?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
Those crimes are worth it.
Yeah, sometimes, unfortunately, things have to be changed in a rather ugly way.
According to the Truth Commission and a whole swathe of human...
Come on, John, if this is where we're going... You're wasting my time.
That's all
bullshit. Those people all had agendas.
So it was bullshit that the Salvadorian military were murdering tens of thousands of people.
I bet you can't count more than 200 in the whole 10 or 12 years. You're taking the stuff from these propaganda mills. And I'm not interested.
What are the propaganda mills?
All these things, this truth thing and all that. They're nothing but propaganda mills.
Do you really think that?
I know so. Are they all
conning us, lying us? Yeah, Amnesty International?
Amnesty International is right in the middle of it.
What right have you, when I mean you, the CIA, the United States government, or any foreign power, what right do you have to do what you do in other countries?
National security interests.
But that's a divine right, isn't it? Because the people that you do it to have no say in
it. Yeah. Well, that's just tough. We are going to protect ourselves, and we're going to go on protecting ourselves because we end up protecting all of you. And let's not forget that.
Right. Right. No, I won't.
We'll intervene whenever we decide it's in our national security interest to intervene. And if you don't like it, lump it. Get used to it, world. We're not going to put up with nonsense.
Don't let the colonial occupation blues get you down. Listen to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The podcast for intelligent aboriginals.
Go on, chillin. That what we're to talk about. We need a little help. Can't do this y'all alone. Thank God for this. Lick. Jim Brown, y'all. Yes, this your evening. One more time. We'd ask one of the children for get up. Get into it. Get involved. Oh, Hunter Children, when I have to come down here to the Gullah Geechee Nation, and so glad that Hunter to tune in to we Gullah Geechee Rhythm Radio Station. Hunter Children, know this year the head from the body of this year nation and the hope of we station. Queen Quest, come on, Children, get involved. Get involved. Get involved to the Gullah Geechee Sea Island Coalition, the sponsor of this year radio station. Hunter Children, this year the we show, Gullah Geechee Rhythm Radio. Come on, y'all.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 97.9 en FM.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that prevents pregnancy. It is not an abortion pill and does not cause an abortion, only the prevention of pregnancy. If you have had unprotected sex or have been raped and need Plan B, contact your local Indian Health Service. You have a legal right to receive Plan B over the counter, meaning without a prescription or a doctor's appointment if you are 17 or older. Plan B must be taken within 72 hours of sexual intercourse to be effective. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
को कहां गई थी
दोपहर को बाजार गई थी
पता कि नहीं जा सकती थी
अरे अभी इसकी क्या बताना
पड़ोसियों से पता चलता है मुझे
पता चले तो क्या हुआ
चुप ये घर मैं चलाता हूं मुझसे पूछे बगैर कोई काम नहीं होगा इस घर में चल समझ
घरेलू हिंसा में बाधा डालकर उसे रोको बेल बजाओ घरेलू हिंसा अधिनियम पर जानकारी के लिए bellbajao.org पर लॉग ऑन करें ब्रेक थ्रू की पहल
Those that's written to, but it's more than a bookstore. You want it, we got it. Mixtapes, DVDs, and culture products. Black and Nobel got our hands in a lot of projects. You rock them all to come build the energy.
cheat is positive. And remember of the change is awakened conscious. Come through and experience this place of knowledge that they don't put it in a book. If they wanna hide it from us, but we got the book so you can buy it from us. Something to read while you're on a train or riding the bus. Get your read on, food for thought, get your eat on. Black and Nobel. 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 Black and Nobel.
This is DJ Fusion of the Fusebox Radio Broadcast and BlackRadiosBack.com, and you're now listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, another slice of real black radio for the masses. All right? Peace.
So we would be under roof. So it's Friday on the front porch. And frankly, Appalachia, what's left of it unspoiled and untormented, is beautiful in this kind of weather. Oh, it's wet, and everywhere you step, it squishes. And the clouds seem to be just at treetop level. The fog itself becomes tangible and physical. And everything is shrouded in a sort of soft focus. So it's a lot of its sort here in one of the largest temperate rainforests on the planet. Now, I don't know what you've got on your mind to converse about this evening. Everything is, well, everything but one thing is open to discussion. And I don't want to be an ass or anything, but would you do me a favor, please? Would none of you please? And I don't think I've ever put this kind of a limitation on Friday on the front porch before. And I don't really think I need to mention this, but just for safety's sake, because I don't want to run screaming out into the rain tonight. Could we agree at the beginning of the program not to talk about the crazy... The fact that Nancy Grace has not been dragged out into the streets and caned... evades me. Could we not talk about the Casey Anthony case? And having said that, I will say no more. Now, maybe you want to discuss the recent issue of whether or not President Not Sure has decided to put the lives and well-being of 30 million seniors on the bargaining table. Well, not really on the bargaining table, on the menu, if you will. Maybe you want to talk about that. Maybe you want to talk about the ongoing and burgeoning it's more than a scandal. It's a sickening conspiracy that has been that has had the lid pulled off of it in the United Kingdom with regard to Rupert Murdoch. Maybe you want to discuss that, and I think that would be very, very good for us so to do. But before we get started, I got one thing that I want to go to because, well, damn it, it pisses me off. And I want you to have it at hand just so you can understand a little bit about the world that Appalachian people live in. There he goes again. Now, you want to hear this. I told you, I've mentioned repeatedly this recent health study that says the nearer one gets to a mountaintop removal operation, the greater the likelihood becomes that one's children will be born deformed and with various and sundry, six different categories, really, of birth Well, there's a long history of denying the toxic hell that coal has unleashed on Appalachia. You know, in the grand scheme of things, I can't help thinking that as my forebears were stealing the lands here from the native peoples who occupied it peacefully, well, mostly, they fought over it some, too. After all, the Iroquois Confederacy sold it to the Virginians, saying, oh, yeah, we've conquered everybody down there. There's nobody really there. No, go ahead, take it. When the whole time the Shawnee were here and they go, wait! We don't even like those people. So, yeah. But anyway, my people came in and stole the land. And it reminds me of the shortest poem that Robert Frost ever wrote. It's a poem called Forgive, O Lord. And we all know that my Scots forebears were very, very pious people. There's an old saying that the Scots landed in America and fell on their knees and prayed to God and then fell on the natives and prayed on them. It's pretty much true. There's another old saying that the Scots feared God so much they had no room left to fear anyone else. Equally so. But this poem by Robert Frost says, Forgive, O Lord, my little jokes on thee, and I'll forgive thy great big one on me. It is a sort of recognition of one of those theses that runs the length and breadth of this. Be an almighty God, and almighty God be not some imaginary hallucination, a collective on the part of the human species. That if there be such a thing, he is a god of irony. It is a god of irony. She is a god. Fools recognize this in their creation or their veneration of coyote god, who was a trickster. But with all that going as prologue, I can't help thinking that there was a little chuckle going on, cosmically, metaphysically, as my forebears dispossessed people who lived on the earth and didn't scrabble a bunch in it, unleashing all the poisons that lived underneath these Appalachian mountains. Oh, yeah, go ahead and steal that land. Do it. Oh, just do it. Go ahead. Yeah, because I tell you what, I'm going to unleash some shit on you. And it has happened. If you live near a mountaintop removal operation in Appalachia, your children have a 42% greater likelihood of being born with a variety of some 6 different birth defects. Brought to you by the coal industry. It keeps the lights on in funeral homes. But going back to the earliest days when coal miners would come out of the dusky, dusty, filthy, dank, damp, toxic environs of underground coal mines, coughing and spitting up blood and eventually dying of what would eventually be discovered to be black lung disease. Coal miner's pneumoconiosis is the formal term. The coal company said, "Nah, ain't no such a thing! We're good, honorable businessmen. We're just digging up the coal that's keeping the Industrial Revolution a turning and a going." They denied black lung even existed. Ah, them's all smokers. They smoke, everybody. You know, the coal industry was the first industry ever to suggest that cigarette smoking was bad for you, but they only did it to evade their own responsibility for killing people with coal dust. Coal dust is bad for you. It's toxic. It's terminal. So, flash forward, and we get this new study regarding birth defects near mountaintop removal operations. At first, the coal industry said, "Well, you know, we ain't had a chance to study it up enough yet. We ain't studied on it. We ain't got the checks out to our own paid little prostitute researchers who'll blame it on something else." We ain't ready to comment yet, but you know that's probably not true. That's how them liberals are, all the time trying to make up stuff that gets in the way of business in America. It ain't real. Well, they've outdone themselves. Earlier this evening, when I was outside getting in the rusty red pickup truck to toddle down into town, as is my wont before showtime, just to sort of walk around, blow, you know, that kind of thing, I looked around at those skies that were hanging at treetop level, as I mentioned. It's beautiful. And I thought, gorillas in the mist. Well, it's not really gorillas in the mist here in central Appalachia, but apparently, as far as the National Mining Association is concerned, it's something close. Hillbillies in the mist. Now, like I said, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about whether or not Barack Obama is has put a lot of us on the menu, or whether he's playing us. We'll have time to talk about Rupert Murdoch and any number of the myriad stories I missed in my absence. But this one just, I got to get this one out front just so you can know what we're dealing with here, what kind of an outlaw, sleazy, slimy, filthy, disgusting bunch we're talking about in the form of the coal industry, and in this case, the National Mining Association. It's been a couple of weeks now since the story came out, and I guess the coal industry has had a chance to have a look at it. And in response to the fact that mountaintop removal causes a 42% greater likelihood of a wide variety of birth defects in children born in Appalachia, well, the coal industry's looked around for a loophole. And by God, they think they found it. Sit down. No, really, sit down. You're gonna love this. The National Mining Association has now criticized the study, the birth defect study, and shown its invalidity as follows. Yeah, just so you can, just to remind you of what music's playing there. You know what's coming, don't you? This is a quote. This is a real quote. Boy, howdy, would I like to find the author of this here quote. I'd like to find him about 2:30 in the morning stumbling out of a bar somewhere in, I don't know, Georgetown. The National Mining Association has announced that the birth defect study is flawed. No, really, is flawed. Because why? Well, like I said, this is a quote. The birth defect study is flawed, according to the National Mining Association, because, and I quote, the study failed to account for consanguinity. That's a $10 word for incest. You know, you're my sister. You're my sister. I'm your brother. I'm your brother. Hoo-wee! The study failed to account for consanguinity, one of the most prominent sources of... That's right! The National Mining Association just said every hillbilly with a deformed birth baby has that deformed baby because we're a bunch of inbred goddamn hillbillies who don't have enough common sense not to get it on with the relations. You know how it is. Deeper kin, closer in. Closer kin, deeper in, something like that. Y'all come back now. You hear?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
I'm so thirsty for revolution. I'm so crazy about the people. We're gonna stand together. We're gonna have a black army, a Mexican American army, an alliance of solidarity. We're gonna have some progressive whites. All of us. And we're gonna march on this pig power structure. And we're gonna say, stick 'em up, motherfucker. We come for what's ours. Power to the people. Thanks, brother.
Welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm your host, Angry Indian, sitting in with my engineer, Lupin Morales. This is the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from occupied North America. For more information on the news items and opinions discussed in this internet radio broadcast, please visit our electronic newspapers at aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com. and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. You may also leave us a polite voicemail at Aboriginal Media Group via Google Talk, and you can always email our studios at aboriginalradio@lavabit.com. Now, as always, I welcome back my brothers and sisters of the Fourth World, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the negative elements staunchly opposed to human justice and social harmony. But see, in spite of all that, though, they take the time to listen to this show in the sly anyway. I mean, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, and, you know, we're speaking to those of you who give a damn, who care, who think for yourselves, and, you know, people don't really think in terms of Indigenous people and that. You know, we're spiritual, right? We float through the air, you know, we traverse time, right? We speak to the dead. You know, we don't have real lives. We don't need to have, you know, fresh greens and adequate protein and fresh air and water to survive, you know, because we're anachronisms of the past. And, you know, we believe that. And this is why we put up with a lot of what we put up with. Just like my African brothers and sisters, you know, to try to explain to them that the term nigger means ignorant. And each time you call each other nigger, you're saying to each other you're ignorant. And when you identify yourself as a nigger, you're saying to yourself that you're ignorant. And you're solidifying that. You know, it's hard to do that because the Matrix, right? The Matrix, you know, the paradigm, you know, all of this nonsense that we're stuck with, that's reinforced all the time. You know, it used to be that they didn't want you sitting in front of a television. Now you walk around with it in your pocket. Think about that, my brother and sister. Think about that, especially my 5% brothers and sisters, you know, who will rage and rage and rage about, you know, how, you know, homosexuals are ruining the African community while ignoring the fact that homosexuals have always been in the African community. You know, I mean, whether or not you want to accept it, when you study voodoo, Vodun, when you study African religion, it's there. Because just like indigenous people in the Americas, just like indigenous people in Asia. Come on, Asiatic black man, do you really think we're first in everything and not that too? You know, I mean, be serious. And it's the same thing I'm saying to, you know, these liberals out here. You got to accept the entire thing. I'm not saying you have to agree with the entire thing, but you have to accept something. When you buy a pair of shoes, you're paying, you know, if you're one of these rich liberals, right, you can afford to buy some fair trade footwear. Well, that's cool. You see, my brother in the hood and on the reservation, they can't do that. They can't do that. They don't have a choice of whether or not they can follow a microbiotic diet, you know, or whether their chicken is free range and what have you. You know, they don't really have these options. And if you're going to understand them, you're going to have to, you know, accept that. And they're going to have to not look at you as a bourgeois ass. You know, they're going to have to accept that. No, there's just certain things that are not going to work, you know, like the Pope, the current Pope. You know, he's not going to work out. Now, they're saying he's having surgery right now. They're saying he wore a pacemaker. Hey, maybe all that's true. I just kind of find that a little hard to believe because, you know, generally a CEO, and the Pope is the major CEO, right? I mean, how much is that little mile-wide city worth? Well, the whole enterprise in general. I mean, how much is all of that worth in terms of holding land, art,
You know, how much is all that worth? How much is the Catholic Church worth in dollars? You know, I mean, I'm sure it's a packet, isn't it? You know, it's like, how much are they worth in actual USD? In your, well, I don't know. Is the euro serious anymore? Does anybody care? You know, all of this currency is going to collapse probably, you know, at some point. Because it's not based on anything. All of this is a joke. And since we're speaking on currency, there's something I want to talk about. Because I mentioned him here earlier, Bob Kincaid. Now, I like Bob Kincaid's show. But I went to listen to it last night. And you know what? It wasn't on. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, you know, we chatted a little bit beforehand. And he can't afford to put it on. And let me tell you something about Kincaid. You know, he's running damn near, he and his wife, a one-family operation to get this idea of clean coal out of the minds of his people in Appalachia. Because there is no such goddamn thing as clean coal. If you know anything at all about how coal is mined anywhere. And do let me point out that a mine collapsed with 9 people in it. I believe it was China. Or it was Russia. Somewhere there. I saw a blurb about it. And I would like you to offer your best thoughts and well wishes and prayers if you want to those people. Because that is one of the most dangerous jobs. I have respect for everybody that goes under the earth to pull stuff out. Because, you know, that one is a hard goddamn job. And second, the companies they work for don't give a fuck about them. But, you know, what I would like you to do, though, I would like you to consider to help support his thing, because without funds, you know, it's hard for he and his little crew over there to keep that going. It's just really difficult because of the type of business model. And this is what we were talking about, and I'd like to have him on to discuss this, because he needs sponsors, obviously. I mean, in order for a radio program to work, whether it's an independent or whether it's a corporate entity, there must be a revenue flow. You dig what I'm saying? So basically, they sell advertising. You know, without these adverts, there's no programming. It's the same thing with the newspaper. Now, it's great when you can have a newspaper like Fact, you know, George Seldes' news thing, which carried absolutely no advertising. But people had to buy the subscription. You dig what I'm saying? People had to pay for it. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at here in terms of Mike Warren, in terms of Bob Kincaid, and there's a few others. I can't always remember the names who do not necessarily do podcasts, but they actually have a live stream. If you're not going to send them 5 or 10, you know, every now and again, they're not going to be able to stay on the air, because that's the way the system has been rigged. You know, and if it's not that, then if you have a business, advertise. You know, Michael Parenti has pointed this out many times. If you have a cooperative which has way better food, you know, products, selection, choices, what have you, than the mainstream market, if nobody knows about it, no one's going to go there, and eventually it's going to fold, and that's what ends up happening. You know, so I see here, you know, a bit of a win-win. You have small radio stations, small towns, and you have independent, you know, things like Kincaid, like the Malloys. Because, frankly, why are they independent? Why is Mike and Catherine Malloy working out of their basement? You know, why did they have to purchase their own Zephyr? Because they can't work for a regular station because of what he talks about. You know, I mean, you had this Hegel hearing come up, and Hegel is a critic of the Israeli Schadenfreude, right? So, okay, Malloy talks about it. Kincaid talks about it. It's not the primary focus of his show, but I mean, he deals with Appalachia and the environment, the AIC Act, and whatever, which he was managed to get passed. And, you know, he needs to be supported for this. You know, I mean, he needs to fill that pickup truck to get down to D.C. in order to make these arguments for his population. And, you know, if you listen to the interview that we did with him, you know, he's alone in this. He's alone in this. And his family has personally suffered from the health effects of drilling for this goddamn coal the way that they're doing it. They're tearing apart his community and people in the surrounding region who don't really think that it affects them, because they got it in their head, well, this just a bunch of toothless rednecks and stuff. Who gives a damn if they're tearing up, you know, Appalachia? Well, you need to give a damn. One, these are human beings. See, I learned that from the Black Panther Party for self-defense, because they went there and organized with them. The first Patriot Party was not racist. The first Patriot Party was basically the white version of the Black Panther Party for self-defense in Appalachia. And I know a lot of you don't know that. They helped organize the March on Washington. I'm not talking about the March on Washington when you met King. I'm talking about the second March on Washington, the Poor People's March, where they camped out in front of the Capitol for over a year. Jesse Jackson hasn't been liked since. And that's when he grew his fro and started wearing dashikis. And he hasn't been forgiven by white people since then. You know, you don't want to acknowledge these people, because who doesn't want you to acknowledge them? Who doesn't want you to acknowledge them? You know, who is pushing my big fat redneck wedding? Is it really the people from Appalachia, West Virginia, what have you, who are pushing that type of programming? Or is it the same cigar-smoking, fat-ass capitalist that's pushing, you know, Basketball Wives, L.A., wherever the hell, Basketball Wives, Miami, wherever the hell, Atlanta, you know, Real Housewives, right? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, to be frank, it's just a bunch of chicken heads running around on film, you know? But they're becoming major stars, and they're shaping the minds of young women. Is that the black community doing that? Or is that, you know, again, a capitalist, usually Caucasian, usually Christian, who is sitting in an office someplace in L.A., who is manipulating all of this? Now, I know you suckers who believe in the protocols of the Elders of Zion are thinking that it's some Jewish guy, but as I said, you need to read and understand what the hell is going on. That is a hoax. It's nonsense. It was to get, you know, I mean, look, okay, you know, I'm going on a tangent. I'm talking about Bob, but he'll understand. Look, the Okhrana, the Russian secret police under the Tsar, the white Russians, the Russians who consider themselves to be European, and my Russian listeners know exactly what the hell I'm talking about. Because Russia is only European when they like them. You know, same thing with Greece. They started calling them Arabs as soon as they started bucking this austerity. Because they originally come from Lebanon anyway. But, you know, that's the reality of things. The Okhrana came up with that nonsense because they needed to take the heat off of the fact that they were cheating the people and bleeding the country dry. I mean, the majority of the country didn't even know about the Tsar. They had no idea. They were not near a major city. They and couldn't read, which was most of them. I mean, when you look at somebody like, I don't want to get into too many goddamn conspiracies. I was going to talk about Rasputin, but we'll leave that alone. Even though we know that the British were involved, but that's another thing. You know, right now we're talking about the Okhrana. Now, this secret police, I can't remember this bastard's name. I used to, who probably was one of the fellas that had something to do with Rasputin too. They turned around and came up with this idea. Well, you know, if we put this out, because you have to remember, this is a damn near word for word plagiarism of an earlier morality period that was written in French. They blamed Jews for this. Jews were being stabbed all over Europe because of this. Not just in Russia, which did cause a hell of a lot of problems, but it didn't really solve the main problem, which was that the government didn't give a damn about the people. And don't blame Lenin for the revolution, because he wasn't even in the country when all that went down. He didn't have too much to do other than come back, stand on a podium, rally people to him. You know, I mean, he was a professional revolutionary. He already had his hand in the mix. He didn't have anything to do with that jumping off. He just took advantage of the fact that it had jumped off. All right, so what does this have to do with Bob Kincaid? Well, that really doesn't have anything to do with Bob Kincaid. But, you know, but the bottom line is we have to think in terms of alternatives. That's what I'm saying. And Bob Kincaid and Michael Lloyd, for that matter, are alternatives. And you need to visit their sites. In the case of Bob Kincaid, it's hitonradio.com. It's MikeMalloy.com. And like I said, whether we're talking to each other or not, you know, that's not the issue. And this is where the left has to wake up. We don't have to agree on every goddamn thing, but we have to understand what the goal is. What the goal is. If we're really trying to fix the damn system, then we have to actually fix the system. But we can't fix the system by doing bullshit. And this is why I tell my black brothers and sisters. We can't fix the system talking about, well, rap was... Look, rap is just a means to a goddamn end. If you really think you can build a government on rap music, you can build a government on an ism like that that already exploits women, has got you calling yourselves niggas, and it's just about being a gangster. Keep it gangster. Keep it gangster. Gangsters don't live very goddamn long. Gangsters don't do anything. Gangsters just cause a whole lot of death and destruction, and then they want to write a book at the end of every goddamn thing so they feel better about themselves while they're sitting in church. Nah, sorry. I don't buy that. See, I want change now. And I want change without goddamn violence. I want change without people getting hurt. I want change that's intelligent. Because I consider myself to be an elevated, civilized black man who understands what Asia really means. All right? So, you know, when it really comes down to that, you know, none of that has anything to do with Bob Kincaid. Right? But it does. Because he and I are completely from two different worlds. He's from Appalachia, I'm from public housing. Both of us have met online, which is what makes the internet so goddamn powerful. And we realize that if the two of us, and enough of us, the many of us, because we outnumber these bastards, always remember that. Capitalism cannot survive without socialism to back it up, right? We outnumber these fucks. So why are we intimidated? We don't have to go out there and threaten anybody like the gun lobby, like the cowards of the gun lobby who need to walk around with a pistol everywhere. They even need to take a gun in the church, which says that your God isn't all that goddamn strong and neither is your faith. You don't have faith in your church. You don't have faith in your country. You don't have faith in yourself, and you don't have faith in your fellow man. And you definitely don't have faith in your neighbor. You know, so, you know, don't tell me about democracy and truth and the hell with communism and what have you. And, you know, black people need to get a grip and do more. You know, I mean, we're dealing with a muddle of goddamn confusion. So, you know, do me a favor. Go to headonradio.com and do what you can, even if it's just to spread the word. I don't have a credit card, you know, I'm in the same boat you're in, brother and sister. That's why we run things the way we do here at the Aboriginal Press News Service. But I would like you to go visit headonradio.com. Listen to what he has to say about the ACAC. Find out what's going on. And remember that there are Indians living in Appalachia too. You know, they got to drink the water up there and breathe the air as well. And they're losing their organs. You understand what I'm saying? Because the health up there is so bad. And then you got the fracking. You know, come on, people. I don't usually do this, and you know this, but you know, I've really become fond of him, and I appreciate what he's doing because, you know, it gives me faith when people want to talk about, you know, the racial question in the United States, and I'm listening to Bob and I'm like, you know, this is one, you know, same thing with Mike Malloy. Like I said, you know, we have our differences, but, you know, these are two white men that need to be on the air. They need to be on the air. You will not find too many others that will do this and keep their goddamn jobs. So just like, you know, when we got a cop out here that's stopping another cop from beating somebody, we need to support those that are supporting us. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. And, you know, we'll see you again. And I just want to say to the students that are staying in school, to my brothers and sisters, my Native American brothers and sisters, my African brothers and sisters, my poor white brothers and sisters, my Mexican, Puerto Ricano, you know, Dominican Republica brothers and sisters, all of you, go to school. stay away from these goddamn gangs. Educate yourself so we can change the paradigm to work for everybody. This is the Angry Indian. You've been listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Peace, love, and if you want the man to get up off your back, brother, all you've got to do, and sister, and I mean it, really mean it for my sisters, stand the fuck up. Sig it.
I'm gonna stand until I can't stand no more if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movements, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POCorganize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
I am absolutely convinced that this nation is finally headed in the right direction. Our economy is growing again. We are adding jobs again. America's moving forward again.
President Obama wants $50 billion to create jobs for construction of roads, railways, and runways. Already, billions have been committed in new initiatives such as Social Innovation Fund, economic stimulus, and broadband. And hundreds of millions are going to border security. Yet, security and jobs for whom? Construction jobs mostly employ men. The new funding initiatives have principally benefited institutions and government. And border security seems to be for U.S. transnationals operating maquilas and those seeking to profit from the violence and poverty in Ciudad Juarez and Mexico. But what about security and jobs for women workers on the U.S.-Mexico border? Why invest in infrastructure benefiting transnational corporations and not in community-led development? For nearly two decades, first with NAFTA and now with the war on drugs, border women have seen their livelihoods, communities, and futures written off as unfortunate but necessary casualties by the companies they made rich, left to live and die amidst the underdevelopment of the border. Yet, women have refused to accept this fate. Organized, fierce, and resilient, they're pursuing their own version of security and employment. La Mujer Obrera in El Paso is one example. Through their daycare, restaurant, festival marketplace, museum, media center, and adult education programs, the women are creating genuine border security, real economic development. And they have extensive plans for additional development, including schools, housing, and health programs. Like La Mujer Obrera, there are other low-income women on the border who have the vision and drive needed to create spaces where cultural arts and grassroots microenterprises can flourish, restoring economy, pride, and dignity in their neighborhoods. Their efforts are the stuff that economists, feminists, and reformers tout as vital to build sustainable national security and development. Yet today, the women find themselves fighting their hardest battle yet, sustainability in the weakest U.S. economy in decades, and a future being designed without them. Local and national media have focused on border violence and security issues, but have missed the solutions that border women are ready to implement. Public-private initiatives need to prioritize border women's efforts to restore their communities from the damaging effects of international trade policies. As Gloria Steinem said when she visited La Mujer Obrera, there is no safe space for women. We have to create that space. We have to build that community.
The conditions of women on the border are urgent, and women on the border are demanding justice and equity now. For more information, contact La Mujer Obrera.
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org and FirstVoicesIndigenousRadio.org.
The Downing Street memo is relevant. The facts on the ground tell us there were no WMDs in Iraq and no links to 9/11. So, was the president misinformed about these issues? Or was intelligence being fixed to support an invasion? To read the Downing Street memo, or for news and information about it, go to the website AfterDowningStreet.org.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
Hey, what do you think about this idea? Since we freed the slaves in 1865, don't you think the black race owes the white race reparations? I was thinking like $20,000, you know, per person. I mean, anybody that's not on welfare.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.